Today we are going to start a new book called Book of Mark. This book is called Gospel of Mark, and this book was written, the first one. There are four Gospels, but the Mark is the one first was written. And they say it might be written between AD 55 and AD 60. And the writer is Mark. Now, this Mark, if you remember, this Mark is the one Barnabas and Paul had the problem. And his mother's name, I think, is Mary. Peter was the one who gave the message of salvation to Mark. And Mark got saved through Peter. So Peter says in his writing, Mark, my son, just like Paul says to Timothy. Okay, so we're going to start from the verse 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.
When you say the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Mark is trying to say, I am writing this gospel or good news of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And then he's starting verse 2, as it is written in the prophets. In those days, they didn't have the chapters and verses in the Bible. Prophet is Prophet Isaiah. And you can go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3. That's the prophecy is written and Mark is recording in his book, but he did not say book of Isaiah.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Okay, now go Mark chapter 1, verse 3.
The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.
So, looks familiar verse. So he's recorded or he quoting from this Isaiah. And so all these writers, they have to be familiar with the Bible. Otherwise, he cannot write a book. So he knew a little bit history and prophets. And so he's writing to let us know about Jesus Christ and the salvation through Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 4.
John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins.
Now here it is saying, when somebody reads the verse 4, it says he was baptizing in the wilderness. Now, if the person did not read the verse 5, they're going to say, you know, that's why we have to sprinkle, because in the wilderness there won't be any water, so we can have sprinkling baptism. But verse 5 is very clearly says he was baptizing in Jerusalem where all people were baptized, and he baptized them in the Jordan River. So it was not like a wilderness, but he was baptizing people in the Jordan River. Now here we read all people came and they were baptized for forgiveness of their sins. Let's read the verse 4 one more time.
John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins.
See, preach the baptism of repentance so they will have the forgiveness for their sins. Now, many people today, they said, we don't need a baptism because baptism doesn't save. But John the Baptist started like this, you repent and be baptized. If they don't repent, there is no baptism. And today people are baptizing people just for the namesake to get them to their church congregation or for the number. People do not repent, even though they are baptizing children 5 years old and 6 years old. So here we see the baptism is called baptism of repentance. If you don't repent, you don't baptize. And he says when they're baptizing people, after they repent, because of their forgiveness of their sins. So, in short, if somebody knows about Jesus Christ and say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. People take the scripture in book of Acts chapter 16, or book of Acts chapter 8. And there we read, the jailer said, what should I do? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your household. People just take that scripture and say, see, there is no baptism written. But the same night, he took Paul to his home, and the same night, he and his household were baptized. So it's not like just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that's it and go now your way. Even that Enoch was traveling in chariot. Philip goes, gives him the lecture. He was reading the book of Isaiah, but he start from Isaiah and he finished up to salvation and water baptism. And when the water came close by, he says, is that water his hindrance? Can I baptize in that water? He said, if you believe. So he said, if you believe, then the man said, I believe Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Then he was baptized. So the baptism and salvation is very connected to each other. If somebody says, I believe Jesus Christ, but I don't want to be baptized, that is stubbornness. Go to the Mark chapter 16, verse 16.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
See now, he says, if you believe, then baptize, you'll be saved. But if you don't believe, you will be condemned, damned, or put into hell. Now somebody says, it's not clear. It is very clear. Believe the gospel, believe the doctrine, believe the teaching of Jesus Christ, then you will be saved. And Jesus Christ said, Matthew chapter 28, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says when you're preaching the gospel, you baptize them. Didn't say, just go and preach the gospel, and if they want to baptize, baptize. If they don't have desire to baptize, leave them alone. It's not like that. They believe, then tell them about water baptism, and they will be baptized, and they will be saved. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, then you'll obey me. A person doesn't obey Jesus Christ, that means he doesn't love him, and he doesn't even believe in him. Now, I'll give the Luke chapter 7. When you read the Mark chapter 1, verse 5, it says many people came and got baptized. But what the Luke says about, let's read Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and 30.
And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him.
They reject the counsel of God. Who? Pharisees. So who wants to be baptized? John is saying, God told me to baptize. You repent, be baptized, and you'll be saved. Many people listened to the John the Baptist preaching. They repented, they were baptized. And they recognize our God is righteous. What does it mean? Our God is a righteous God. He gives some rules and regulations. Now, when you are born again, child of God, you have to see if this is the righteousness of God, so I'm going to fulfill the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ, when he came to the John the Baptist, he said, why are you taking baptism from me? You should be baptizing me. What did he say? He said, I want to do the righteousness of God, or I want to do the will of God. So the baptism is the will of God, and when we take the baptism, we're fulfilling the righteousness of God. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 1, verse 6.
And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey.
Now many people have many different theory on this. They say he ate locusts and honey, and some people say locust is a tree and a fruit. He might have ate some fruits or seed, or there are some locust trees and things like that. And some people say he might have ate the real locust. But we don't care what he ate, that's not important. The life he lived, a clean and holy life. If you go to the book of Luke, chapter 1, And verse 17, John the Baptist's father is prophesying about his son.
And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
So this is what the mission John the Baptist was supposed to do. But many people are thinking similarity with John. He was clothed with the camel's hair, and he had the belt. And so they're saying this is the same way the Elijah. Elijah was also wearing the similar clothes. Let's read in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8.
And they answered him, he was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite.
So Elijah having the similar clothes and similar kind of belt. But the important thing is we are seeing that John the Baptist has some kind of spirit of Elijah. Means boldness and strong voice. And we read in another man like Elisha, he wanted double portion of his blessing. So he got it. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13 and to 15.
He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.
See, spirit of Elijah is resting on spirit of Elisha. John the Baptist also worked like Elijah's spirit. He was bold and he was doing the prophecy like Elijah. So we are saying not only similarity with clothes, but his work was just like Elijah. Let's go back to the Mark chapter 1, verse 7.
And preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
Now see, John the Baptist says, I did not come here to make my name big. I just came here to proclaim about Jesus Christ. That someone coming after me, he's greater than me, he's coming from heaven, and I am just here proclaiming and preparing the way for Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not even worthy to bend down and unloose his shoes or sandals. So he says, I'm nobody. He is the one great. In the book of St. John, he says, he should be increased and I should be decreased. So he was not a proud man. Mark 1:9.
And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him.
Okay, now this is a little bit complicated, but I'm trying to make it as much as clear. But the Mark does not say word fire. He just says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. But if you read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, and Luke chapter 3, verse 16, please read.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Luke 3:16.
John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
But the fire is a trial and hardship. Once the person is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's the time your trial starts. Just like Jesus, when he took a baptism, and that's the time Spirit take him to the wilderness for testing. So as long as the people say, oh, I believe in Jesus, and I love Jesus, but I'm not ready yet to take a baptism. What does it mean? They're not really ready. They're not believing Jesus Christ to follow him. So here the word of God is saying, if you really believe Jesus Christ, then you're going to obey him into water baptism. Now here Jesus Christ is in our example. Jesus Christ doesn't have to be baptized. But he came to John the Baptist, and he came when the John was saying, why you want me to be baptized? You should be baptizing me. He said, I want you to baptize me, so I want to fulfill the righteousness of God. This is the will of God. And that's why he came to be baptized. Let's read some other Gospels. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
Now, I want to point out here when you say, in the Mark chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. That's what he saw. John the Baptist saw, Jesus saw, he said, the Spirit like a dove. But the Matthew saying, what Matthew is saying? I saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Now see, the Spirit like a dove and the Spirit of God like a dove. That's a little different. Many people got confused thinking this was when Jesus Christ received the baptism and the Spirit came upon him, they are thinking he got the Holy Spirit. Why they say? Because Luke says so. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 21 and 22.
Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.
Okay, now here we see, Luke says, when he came out of the water and he was praying. This is the only recording in book of Luke, when he took baptism, he was praying. And while he was praying, the Spirit of God came upon him, but the Luke says it was the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to make it a little clear, it is a Holy Ghost means the third person of Trinity, or is the Spirit of God, or what it is. So in book of Matthew we read, it says it was the Spirit of God. Now if you read in the book of St. John, let's read. St. John chapter 1, verse 32 to 34.
And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him.
Okay. Now, John also said, I saw the Spirit. Mark says there was a Spirit. Matthew said that was the Spirit of God. Luke said there was the Holy Ghost. Now, what Jesus says, go to the book of Luke, chapter 4, and verse 18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Okay, now here Jesus Christ comes to the synagogue after receiving the baptism and filling with the Spirit of God. And he comes there and takes the book from the Isaiah 61 and start reading. And when he start reading like that, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In the Old Testament, if you take like Moses, Elijah, or any other prophet, if you read even the judges, when they receive the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, they always say Spirit of God and Spirit of the Lord. Never use the word that like a third person of Trinity. Now, why is that? Because the Word of God says, the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Let's go to the book of St. John, chapter 7, and start reading from verse 37 to 39.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
See, it is very clear. The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. And so the Holy Spirit was not yet given because that Holy Spirit is called Promise Holy Spirit. It was promised to in book of Joel. It was promised through Jesus Christ that Jesus said, I will go and I will send the Holy Spirit. We just read, St. John says, I am baptizing you with the water, but someone comes after me, he will baptize you what? Holy Spirit and fire. So the Holy Spirit baptism was not yet given, and this is the proof. Then what did all the Old Testament people received? Even if it says Holy Spirit, and Luke said Jesus received the Holy Spirit, but Jesus says, that's not the Holy Spirit. I received the Spirit of the Lord. And now you know who the Lord is. Jesus Christ is called the Lord. And so God's Son, Matthew says he received the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God and Spirit of the Lord or Spirit of Christ, they are always together. You cannot separate Father and Son. They were always together until He died on the cross, and for the split second, the Father was separated from him. But he was always together. Not only that, I want to prove it to you, the Old Testament people never received this Spirit because he says the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because who was the giver of the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ. He says to John the Baptist, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Jesus Christ was not yet glorified, so the Holy Spirit cannot be given. Now, let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 1 and start reading from verse 10 to 12. And here he says what kind of Spirit the other Old Testament people received.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched it diligently, and who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
Okay, the Spirit of Christ which was in them. In whom? The people who were prophesying. Who were prophesying? Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the prophets. They were talking about Jesus Christ, but they didn't know. They were just preaching. But here he's saying they had the Spirit of Christ. How does Peter know this? Let's read. It's explained there.
Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven.
See? Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven to the church, Peter and all apostles, so they got the revelation. And God revealed to them, because the Holy Spirit was not yet given, according to St. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. So he says, those people, all those Old Testament people, received the Spirit of God or Spirit of Christ. And so Jesus Christ also received the Spirit of the Lord or Spirit of God. So somebody would say, Jesus Christ received the Holy Spirit. Many preachers will preach, and what they say, Jesus Christ was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why he did miracles. Otherwise, he cannot do miracles without the Holy Spirit. Bible says, Jesus Christ, he had the fullness of the Spirit. The Spirit was given to us in measure, but to Son, he was in fullness of the Spirit. So, not only that, Jesus Christ was also an Old Testament prophet. Now, somebody say, oh, he is the one in the New Testament. Even the stories in the New Testament, that doesn't mean he is a New Testament prophet. Jesus Christ is the Old Testament prophet, because the Old Testament started by the the blood of bulls and goats. And so Jesus Christ started a New Testament when? When he died on the cross of Calvary. And so Jesus Christ was called the Old Testament prophet because he is the prophet, he is the priest, and he is the king. To his people, he came as a prophet. Let's see in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 and 18. God says, and Moses said, Lord, I cannot work. Send somebody, another prophet. And God says, okay, I'll do that.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken.
Now this is Moses saying to the people. Okay, let's read what God is saying.
I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
Okay, now this is what the word of God is saying. Jesus Christ came as a prophet. And that's why he came to the Old Testament, means he came to the children of Israel first. He did not go around the world because his mission was to the Jewish people. And that's why he came. And after that, his disciple said, do not go anywhere, go to the lost sheep of Israel. But when the Holy Spirit comes, then you'll be my witness around the world. But now you go to the lost sheep of Israel. So here we see Jesus Christ was a prophet. First ministry was the prophet's ministry. When he died on the cross of Calvary, the word of God says he took his own blood and he went to the most holy place in heaven, and now he's a priest. Now he's a mediator and priest for us in heaven. And then he's coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he is a prophet, he is the priest, and he's going to be as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So point I'm making, Jesus Christ, when he was baptized and came out of the water, and when you see the Spirit or the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord, it was not the third person of Trinity, Holy Spirit. That's what I was trying to make it clear. Okay, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 11.
And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Now see, Jesus Christ, when he was born, there was no voice coming from heaven. This is my beloved Son. When the shepherd came to see, there was no voice they heard. This is my beloved Son. The wise man came. There was no voice. Why the voice came after he took the baptism? Let's read the Matthew chapter 3, verse 15.
And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him.
So when he comes to the John the Baptist did not want to baptize him. He said, Let it be, because I want to fulfill the righteousness of God. So when he obeyed into the water baptism, and you obey the word of God, when you obey the word of God, you are beloved son. If your child is not listening to you, it's not your favorite son. So favorite son listen to mother or father. So when Jesus Christ is the Son of God, so he has to obey God. If he doesn't obey God, then he cannot be called the Son of God. So if he would have refused the water baptism, he was not a sinner. He doesn't have to be baptized, but he took the man's body. So every man is coming to be baptized. So he went to obey the commandment of God. And as soon as he obeyed the commandment of God, the voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I give you the words before in Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and 30. You can read it again. Some people did not take the baptism, and God was not pleased with those people.
And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John.
Okay, see here, the publican means sinners. All the sinners took the baptism, and it says justified God being baptized. That means all the sinners, they came and repented, say, oh, this is the will of God. God commanded John the Baptist that we should be baptized and we should repent. This baptism is called the baptism of repentance. So we are going to repent of our sins and then we are going to justify God. They did. They took baptism. Verse 30.
But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him.
See, rejected the counsel of God against themselves. Means, so who cares what God says? I don't want to be baptized. This John the Baptist is a crazy man. We never heard anybody shouting there in the wilderness and whole world is going after him and be baptized. There is nothing recorded that everybody should go and be baptized. So they rejected the counsel of God. They rejected the plan of God. They rejected the commandment of God. And so, point I was making, once you are born again, child of God, you will obey the word of God. Okay, so Jesus obeyed the word of God and say what? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, Mark chapter 1, verse 12.
And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness.
Now, when you say immediately, means as soon as he was baptized, the Spirit takes him into the wilderness. Now, some people were saying the devil took him to the wilderness. Devil cannot force the child of God. You understand? Devil has no power over the children of God. What spirit? When the Spirit of God was taking him to the wilderness for testing, God says he purges his own son and own children. So he wanted to test Christ, how he stands the test. And that's what happens. And similar things happens to us. All this testing and trial comes. Many people do not want Christianity. They want Christian life means easygoing life. But the word of God says, when you tested, you became more perfect. Go to this James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4.
My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
See, that's what God wants. God wants us to be perfect and lacking nothing. That's why we're going through trials and tribulations and problems. If somebody doesn't want the exam or not want any trials and tribulations, that person cannot be perfected, cannot be mature in the Lord. And so that's what we're going through. Let's go back to the Mark chapter 1 and verse 13.
And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him.
Now here we're seeing Jesus Christ went in the wilderness 40 days, didn't say 40 nights, but the 40 days and 40 nights. When you say day, it means 24 hours a day. So 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted by Satan, and he says he was with the wild beasts. He was with a wild beast, but they were not able to kill him. Just like Adam was in the garden. And all these animals were very friendly with Adam. Nobody was able to eat him or kill him until he committed sin. But Jesus Christ never committed sin, right? So the animal had no power over Christ to kill him or destroy him because he is God himself or the Son of God. That's what we see. So here the devil coming to tempt, but before that he is there 40 days and 40 nights, all these animals coming all around him, but they are not hurting him. Just like a Daniel was put in the lion's den, and they kept the lion hungry for a long time. So they knew that if the lions were hungry and we put the Daniel, the lions will chew him up. That's what they thought. But when Daniel was put in the lion's den, lion did not kill him. They were just like a pussycat going around him and not hurting him. That's what happened to Jesus. When sin comes, sickness, disease, pain, and animals become your enemy. But when you are in the Lord, nothing will hurt you. We read in the book of Mark, chapter 16, he says, when you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though somebody gives you deadly poisonous things, it will not hurt you. Or no animal can hurt you. He says, you will be stepping on the scorpion, stepping on the snake. They will not hurt you. We are the believers. We have the power over the demonic forces. Once you are saved, we have power over these demonic forces. Not only that, he says, angels ministered unto him. Not one angel, angels. So when he was there, the angels might be guarding him. They did not allow any snake. They did not allow any other animals to come to attack him. And so they were ministering to him. The same thing happens once you are born again. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Once we are born again, God sends angels to minister to us. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And now he is going in the wilderness as the son of God, the beloved son of God. Devil has no power. The angels are surrounding him and angels are ministering to him. The same thing happened when you are born again.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
See, they are the ministering spirit for whom? If you are heirs of salvation, if you are born again, you achieve the salvation, then they are there to minister to you. You can go in a danger places. God will protect you. If you are driving, now today we just saw, I was taking a turn. I waited there, looked left, look right, and I took the turn, and where I'm turning, here other person was behind me. He didn't wait until I go. He just comes, crosses in front of me, and gone. If God was not watching us, we would have an accident. So the God's angels were watching us and protecting us. Now here again we see Jesus Christ went to wilderness. The Spirit of God took him in the wilderness for testing. Why? Because Adam was tested and Adam failed. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. When you say Adam, the female was tested, but her name was Adam.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Now see what he's saying. The woman saw the tree was good for what? Food. They were not eating food yet. They were eating all kinds of fruits. But when she saw this fruit, she said, oh, this is good for food. She saw the food and she said, this is good for food. This other food is not good for food. This is good. And then which is then what he's saying? And that was pleasant to her eyes. Other fruits, they don't look that pretty. They don't look that beautiful. But this catches my eyes. This is what the world is. In our language, it says, ghar ki murgi dal barabar. That means your wife cooks the very delicious chicken, but you said, oh, this looks like a lentil curry. I want to go to a restaurant. Other lady cooks much better chicken. You don't know how to cook. So what is trying to say, that lady saw this fruit and she said, oh, this is very exciting. I never saw this kind of food. That fruit is good for food and he's looking beautiful. That's what the word of God is saying. When you look something, Jesus Christ said, when you're looking at one girl with a lustful eyes, you already did commit adultery. Okay, then what he's saying, and that food, and he says, and tree to be desired to be make one wise. She said, wow, this tree is good for food. This fruit is good for my eyes, looks very enticing. And this can make me really wise. That's what the testing was. And so that's what the word of God is saying. Go to the 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Now here is saying, do not love the world and the things of the world. If you're doing that, That means you don't love the Father, and Father is not going to love you. So we are living in the world, but we are not of the world. We are belong to God. Last week we learned we are citizens of heaven. And we learned that we are looking unto Jesus. Jesus is our life. So we are living in this world, but we are not living for this world. Do you know the fish? Fish stays in the salty water all the time. But when you take the fish, does anybody eat fish without putting the salt? Now, 21st century, yes, they will eat without the salt. But I never saw 50 years ago, somebody takes the fish and cooks without a salt and eat. Because the fish doesn't have a salt. You have to put a salt. The fish stays in the salty water, but doesn't allow salt get into flesh. So the same way we are living in the sinful ocean, or sinful sea, or sinful world, but the world's sin should not come to us. If it does, he says, then Father's love is not in you, because you are not loving the Lord. You can say, oh, I love the Lord, and I really love God. But if you love the Lord and you do the worldly thing, you are not a child of God. Okay, verse 16.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Now somebody says, this is all the world has. He says, oh, the world has the trees and gardens and animals and planets. But God said, I'm not talking about that. He says, what the world has in nutshell, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of flesh. This is what the desire we have. We want to eat something. Our tongue wants to taste something. And we want to feed on some better kinds of food. One restaurant to another restaurant to another restaurant to... There are some people, they are tasting food and wine tasting and food tasting and things like that. Because their desire is flesh. Satisfying the desires of their lust. And the other one he says, and the lust of the eyes. That means they want to see the pretty girls, they want to see the movies, they want to see everything. There are some people are bird watchers and all kinds of things. They want to see the world. One day one person was sitting with me in the plane and I said, sir, do you know how much money you spent to come to India? He says, $3,000. I said, you might be rich. He said, no, I borrowed on MasterCard. So MasterCard, you borrow the money, go to sightseeing. Now, some people just 3,000, some people going to some sightseeing or some places, spending $10,000. What is it? Lust of the eyes. You want to see. I want to see Rome. I want to see this. I want to see this. I'm in Philadelphia how many years now? I didn't go to see all 50 states yet, no. Only places I went where I had the opportunity to go to preach the gospel or things like that. When I went to Russia, we had 120 ministers with me. And when I went to Russia, they have, let's go to the ballet dancing today. Let's go to this theater. Let's go here. Let's go there. I said, sir, I did not come to Russia to go to movies, go to seeing theaters and the dancers and the restaurant. I came here to preach the gospel. And that's what I did. And I was the one preaching the gospel, giving my money, giving the literature, and I was almost running out of the money. And God did some miracle. I started praying for the American people who came from America to Russia. One lady said, God told me to go to Russia and I heal you. I prayed for her and God healed her. Not only one, so many people got healed. And they start coming and shake hands and start giving $20, $50, $100. One lady was a travel agent and she put the money in the envelope. She said, Pastor Peter, can I give you this envelope? God told me to give it to you. So there was the money. The point I'm making, when I took the money to go to Russia, I spent all the money. But when I came back, I had more money than what I took. So my desire was not going and seeing the Russia. My desire was going and preaching the gospel. And that's what I went for. And so he is saying, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What does it mean? They want to be somebody. Before I came to the Lord, you know what my desire was? I wanted to be a movie star. somebody. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a medical doctor. And so I was very talkative, so somebody says, oh, you should be a lawyer. Yes, I want to be a lawyer. And and so I wanted to be a lawyer, I wanted to be a doctor, I wanted to be a movie star. This is the desire, pride. I'm somebody, I want to be somebody. We go to school. Why are you going to school? Not to be somebody, I'm going to school to serve the Lord. I don't care you want to be a lawyer, be a Christian lawyer. Whatever you want to do, do it for the Lord. Then your education is okay. Otherwise, this all pride. Other day, one man was giving the list of the people, I didn't write it down, but most of the billionaires, they died like fools. One billionaire went to some other country and begging for food because he was afraid somebody will see him in America. So he went in another country and was begging. One of the millionaires was in his basement, tied like a dog, and they were not even feeding him food. So many millionaires died like a fool. They wanted to be proud people in the world. But that is not the reason why we are here. Verse 17.
And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
See? The world is going to pass. Whatever you see with your eyes. The beauty doesn't stand too long. When the girls are pretty, you know, when they are 15, 16, they said, nobody's like me. When they become 90 years old, I want to see where the beauty is. So the beauty doesn't stay. Whatever pride doesn't stay is going away. The whole world is going to be vanished. But he said, the word of God says, whoever does the will of God, that person will abide forever. So we want to do the will of God, so we will be with God forever. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ was in the wilderness and he was tested. Go to the book of Matthew. Now we don't have time to study about the temptation, but I'll just give you the chapters. Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, okay? These two chapters, Matthew and Luke, they give the story about the temptation of Jesus Christ. But when you read in Matthew and Luke, they are not chronologically exactly the same. But the temptation are the same. So some people will say, why he wrote this and why he wrote that? It doesn't matter. But the one verse, both of them wrote it very clearly. That's only one verse I'm going to read. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and Luke chapter 4, verse 4. They quoted both chapters and similar verse.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Now the devil start telling him, take this stone and make the bread. Because, you know, Adam failed. Adam and his wife, both of them failed. He said, this fruit is good for food. Some of the stones, you know, they look like a bread. They make it an oven, half cut stone like this and very smooth. And so that's the kind of stone he said, take this stone and make a bread. So he said, the man shall not live by bread alone. And so every word comes out of the mouth of God, and you listen to it and practice it, you will have eternity. Luke.
And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, okay, by every word of God.
Your homework, you go home, compare the book of Matthew chapter 4, and Luke chapter 4, and compare the things. But in short, I'll tell you, in nutshell, the temptation was given to the Adam. The same temptation is recorded in this 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Similar temptation Jesus went through, but he was victorious. Okay, and so here we are going to stop. Time is gone, and God willing, this is the Mark chapter 1, verse 13, we're finishing. And God willing, we start Mark chapter 1, 14 next week. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God and learn from your word. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. If we start loving the world and going after the world, we are going to lose our blessings. So we want to obey you. We want to trust the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God every day. Read the Bible, study the Word, grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. And so we can live for eternity. And devil has no power over us because you have given us authority over the demonic forces. And the devil should be under our feet, not on our head, not in our mind, not in our heart. He should be under our feet. So give us grace to overcome. And all the trials and tribulation comes. Your word says they will make us perfect and they will make us strong. And so we will not have any lacking and we will be perfect children of God, shining for Jesus Christ. So give us grace. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.